Imagine a life where you can spend according to your values, give generously, love richly, live intentionally, and handle your finances biblically. That's what the Faith and Finance podcast is all about. I'm your host, Adrienne Hildebrand, and on the Faith and Finance podcast, we discuss personal finance, intentional living, and value-aligned spending by sharing inspiring stories and practical topics to help you steward your finances in a way that honors God and builds your faith and wealth for the present and generations to come. Let's get started. Often in the personal finance space in America, people learn about money because they had debt or lived above their means, didn't save, etc. It's not the case for every single person, but it is, you know, that happens here. I was definitely one of those people. However, today's guest, Jonathan V, and he says, good luck with my last name, so I'm not even going to try because he goes by Johnny, is on the Faith and Finance podcast. And he approached finances from a growth mindset rather than scarcity. Johnny is from Europe and currently, well, he's from Belgium, and he currently lives in Luxembourg. Guys, I cannot say words. I don't know how to pronounce where he lives, apparently. But he actually approached finances from a growth mindset, which is really cool. He also realized that he was content with what he had. He learned to be content with the things that he had, and he shares his thoughts around contentment and having enough. An abundance mindset doesn't mean that you don't want more or work harder. It just means that whatever you do have, you know there is more, but you are also content with what you have and appreciate the life you've been given. Johnny was an expat in France and his housing expenses were nearly paid for. He was curious about investing and personal finance, so he started listening to podcasts, reading blogs and books, and learning all that he could to improve his knowledge, much like you guys. We also talk about unconventional investment strategies like investing in parking spots, Legos, and Bitcoin, but mostly just for the knowledge factor. So tune into today's episode to learn more about contentment and unconventional investing with Johnny. Jonathan is, as I mentioned, a happy Belgian, and he currently lives in Luxembourg. He started his blog when he lived in Paris in 2017. He is fond of traveling, playing guitar, spending time with friends, snorkeling, diving, and improving his foreign language skills, and of course, personal finance. He holds a master's degree in business engineering and currently works as a procurement professional in the energy industry. He started his blog and podcast as a way to talk about investing and personal finance to not only help himself, but help others. Hope you enjoyed today's episode. Let's get right to it. But first, here's a word from our sponsor. Hey, John, welcome to the Faith and Finance podcast.
Hello, Adrienne. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. You have a really interesting story, and I just want to jump right into it because I think your story is really amazing. So tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and a little bit about your money story.
Yeah, sure. So, my name is Jonathan. I'm actually from Belgium in Europe, and I currently live in Luxembourg, which is just a tiny country next to Belgium. So it's heart of Europe, actually. I also lived in France 1 year. I lived in Norway 10 years. So I've been a bit around. And I'm currently blogging and also have my own podcast, Johnny Talks. So it's a pun between Money Talks and my first name, Jonathan. And we'll probably talk about more details at the end of the show. But at least let's go to my money story. And my money story is simply that I started blogging 3 years ago because that's when I started to get more interest into all personal finance topics. And why and how did that happen? Why did I get into this space? Actually, it came from a place of abundance, which is kind of weird and maybe not the usual story, because from all the contacts I've made in the personal finance space, it's usually people that has had struggles with money or they were in massive debt, especially in the US, that came from this place of scarcity, and they started to get more educated about finance and personal finance and try to get out of this situation. And for me, it was the contrary. So actually, it all started, as I mentioned, I was living in France 1 year, and that's actually when I was sent there as an expatriate. So I had this expat contract, so meaning that my previous company sent me to France, to Paris, actually, and all my expenses were paid. So, for example, my accommodation, which is expensive in Paris, you know, I had some transport, I had a bump on my salary. So life was good, and I talk about it on the blog, but I think it's about $2,000 after tax that I have extra at the end of the month, so which was very nice, of course. And not only that, I had also the professional experience, etc. But money-wise, it was excellent. I was in a very good situation, and I also owned my apartment at the time. That's when I was living in Norway, so I was renting it out. Back to the blog. So where? How does that lead me to the blog? Well, as I said, I got $2,000 extra per month after tax. So basically, I was wondering, what should I do with that money? I mean, I could have easily partied every day, drink champagne and eat oysters, you know, in France, in La Douce France. But instead of that, well, I did some of that, of course, but while I'm there, you should enjoy. But I was mostly, my main concern was, well, how can I use this money for the best? And this is what led me to read personal finance blogs, YouTube videos, podcasts, interviews, etc., to get to know much more about how to make the best use of that extra money. Should I pay down my mortgage faster? Should I buy an extra property? Should I invest more in the stock markets? Because at that time, I had just kind of started into investing in the stock market. So I had all this question, what's the best use of my money? And this is what led me into reading more about personal finance. And then eventually, after a few months, to lead me to start my own personal finance blog.
Jonathan, I think it's really interesting that, as you said, that most of the people in the personal finance community, especially in the United States, are coming from a place of where we were in massive debt and all of that. Do you think that the reason maybe you came from a mindset of more abundance was because of how money sort of is talked about or learned about in Europe? Or do you think that was just mostly because of your upbringing or your own decisions? I'm just really interested in hearing about that, because here debt is very normal, really. It's normal. Is that the case for Europe too? Or can you talk a little bit about that?
It's a very good point that you raised, because indeed, when I read the personal finance blogs and, you know, I've been to FinCon, so I met many, many people, and it's true that the student loan debts, the credit card debts, these are huge topics in the US. And in Europe, I don't feel it's that big. You know, of course, we also have credit cards and people get into debt, and we have student loans as well, but it's very limited. I mean, personally, I mean, I studied finance myself, and you know, my tuition was 1,000 euros per year, maybe. So it's very low compared to, a tuition of $20,000 a year, or I don't know what it costs. But, you know, so I never had this burden when I started my career. I started with zero, with a clean balance sheet, let's say. So that's one thing, you know. But of course, I only speak about Belgium and the countries I lived in, because every country is a bit different and has a different approach to money. And if I look, for example, at Belgium, where I'm from and where I grew up, for example, we have this habit of saving, not necessarily investing, but at least to put something on the side every month. It's embedded in the culture. And okay, people have credit cards and credit card debts, but I don't feel, or from what I hear and from what I see, it's not that huge. It's not such a society problem. And because people have, actually the problem is more that people save too much without using it for a good purpose. So as well, the upbringing, you know, since I'm a kid and I received money for, you know, like for my birthday, for Christmas, for whatever. I mean, people always say, or I mean, in my family, it's like, oh yeah, here's let's say 100 euros. Save some and spend some, you know, so there it's in the mentality, and it will change from country to country. Like I lived in Norway, I felt it was more like less about the savings, but maybe more spending. So it's a bit different. And in France, I have some friends there, and okay, there's a lot of negative stigma around money. So it all changes from country to country. You mentioned the upbringing, and okay, I think I'm very grateful for my parents, because they never had a bad image to money or bad perception. So I grew up with a good image of money. They're not professional investors or nothing. And they did, but they just take money as a tool. How can I say? They always taught me, yeah, let's say good values. I mean, money is not everything in life, but you should try to make the best use of it.
Gives a good perspective because most of my audience is in the United States, but I know that we're all really interested in learning about culture and how the culture affects even us here. Mm-hmm. It's very consumeristic in the United States, but I think that culture is shifting as you've probably noticed, because people are like, we don't want to live in all this crazy debt and we kind of want a more simple life. So it is slowly changing. So I was just really interested in hearing about your perspective, and then also that your family was just in the culture of Belgium really was to save money. That was a normal thing, right? And here It's kind of like the last thing people think about sometimes. Obviously not for people in the personal finance space, but in a lot of cases, it's the last thing people think about. And really it should be like one of the first things. So I know that you just mentioned how money, you know, helping money work for you, right? And helping you reach your goals. So how do you feel like we can use money as a tool in our lives to help us do things that we want to do or buy things we want to buy? How do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, actually it's more, money is a tool for me. That's no doubt, but it's just something you shouldn't chase as such. I think that's where the mindset shift happens. I have a 9-to-5 job, and if my goal is to make some money to save and to become financially independent, I think that's a lofty goal. But if my, if I focus solely on making money, and my goal is to become CEO just because I want to have a nice paycheck at the end of the month, I think that's the wrong approach. I mean, if you're there to see, well, it's healthy to try to be ambitious and to grow in your career and to acquire skills. But in the end, becoming a CEO, if it's just for the sake of money, it's useless. You will not enjoy your career because you will have this goal of money, which doesn't bring you happiness. I think if you have a goal such as, look, I want to spend more time with my family, I want to have a happy life, I want to buy my first house, I want to spend time with the kids, as I said, or spend time with friends, take my family on a nice holiday trip overseas to Italy if you're from the US, or let's say for me, take my family to the US, that's great, you know? And these are great goals, create experiences, become more financially independent so I can choose my own career, so I can pick my jobs however I want, or pick even risky ventures. And money is a tool to help that, to help achieve that, to give you this freedom of choice. It should not be the goal itself. You know, when I was a kid, I watched a lot of DuckTales, you know, so you have Uncle Scrooge diving into his pool of coins. I really like this cartoon, by the way, but you know, that should not be the goal. I mean, it's funny to see when you're a kid, etc., but it should not be the goal to just acquire all those that wealth to do nothing with it.
I agree 100%. And I think we get it twisted because what happens a lot of times, we think that more money will solve our problems. But here there's a saying that says, mo money, mo problems. And if you don't know how to manage that money, then it means nothing. You can make $450,000 a year, but if you spend every penny, it's obviously not bringing you happiness. I mean, I'm not saying there's a point where poverty is a real thing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about where in America, most of the people, especially listening to this podcast, are not poor. And I believe that we do have a duty to help shift mindsets and help people get out of real mm-hmm. poverty. But what happens here is that we just kind of spend all that we have and we're not okay with having less sometimes. And that's mm-hmm. something that has been really, and not just having less, but having things that are actually meaningful to us, right? Because I think you can still have things. There's nothing wrong with things or buying a beautiful home or having a nice car. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we think, if I just need more money to buy all the things and money's the end goal, I agree with you 100% that can't be the end goal, because at the end of the day, like, that does not satisfy. I know that when we didn't have a lot of money, you know, getting a a larger income did help because it helped us pay off our debt. But now mm-hmm. that it helped us pay off our debt and pay off, you know, some other things, whatever, but it was not what inherently made me happy. You know what I mean? Not what was making me happy. So I appreciate that perspective. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. And I just want to add to that because when I was in Paris, okay, I had everything paid, and the thing is I had no living costs because I was renting out my apartment, which was in Norway, and my apartment, for example, was paid by my employer, which sent me to Paris. So basically my cost of living was zero, or almost, maybe I had a little cost, but almost nothing. And, you know, I had all this money, but, you know, I was content. I was, I didn't feel I needed to impress people by buying fancy clothing or by hanging out at, you know, in Paris, there's a lot of, there's a very nice places in a hotel or at the rooftops or here and there. You know, I didn't feel the need to show up there just to show a picture for Instagram or whatever. You know, I was content with where I am. And of course I went to some nice restaurants as well, but I was just happy with the opportunity to have choices. So I have kind of a level where I know where I will be content, and it's not $400,000 a year. I think I was about 120K, and that was much, much more than enough for me to live on and to feel content, just as an example. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point. And I also want to say for anyone listening that, you know, I'm not shaming anyone for if you want to buy a lot of things and have nice things, if it's within your means, you know, mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But for people like you and I feel like our lives are a little bit more simple now, right? We're okay. I like going out to nice restaurants. That's my thing I like to spend money on, or I like to spend money on traveling, or I really value a nice pair of shoes. Like, I would rather buy one pair that costs me a couple $100 that's going to last me for a long time than buy like a cheap pair. I used to be different, but you know what I mean? Like, so it's different getting really clear about what you value and what it is that really makes you happy and being content. That's what you just said. You were content with X amount of dollars or X amount of things. And I think that's really the heart of all of this, Jonathan, is just to be content with what we have, because mm-hmm. good to be ambitious. It's absolutely great to be ambitious, but at what cost, right? Like, don't mm-hmm. be so ambitious that it takes your whole, you know, that you're never, ever, ever satisfied. And I struggle with that sometimes because I'm always thinking, what can I do next? What can I do next? But I just sometimes miss what's going on in the moment, right? So that's not really geared toward money. That's just kind of like a life, intentional living sort of thing. But I just want to touch on that a little bit. So tell me, okay, so you started learning about personal finance and you're coming from a place of abundance and everything. Tell me a little bit about that journey. And I know you started your blog, but tell me a little bit more of the details of how you started that and everything.
Okay, well, actually, I started my real, personal finance journey. So that was actually in 2016, so 3-4 years ago. But I've always had this interest. As I said, I was watching the DuckTales when I was a kid. So I always had this kind of interest to manage my money better. So it didn't come from nowhere neither. I mean, I had my apartment, so I had already started to invest in the stock market. So it was already there, but I didn't have a specific goal or a specific, I didn't really read into the specifics. So that's what happened in 2016. So the details of how I started, since I was reading all of this, all those blogs, etc., collecting all those info, and I thought the blog was a great idea to start for myself, to collect as well my ideas, to share it with the world. It's a form of journal, actually. It's a form of journaling my financial journey as well, in a way. It got very simple. I made some research on how to create a blog, etc., so it went quite fast with the WordPress. And then I started to write articles, etc. And then, kept on publishing. I had some time. I didn't publish always super regularly. So this has been better with the podcast. But still, I've been reading more books, etc. and trying to add content and then be present on social media, etc. So it's really little by little. I'm still on it and trying to bring as much content as possible, quality content that can help people reach their financial goals.
So give the audience an example of a couple of things you really love talking about on your blog. So I'm sure that many people are going to be interested in hearing that. So do you mind sharing a couple of topics you really enjoy talking about on your blog?
Yeah, sure. And well, if you're looking for a student loan debt and getting out of debt, sorry, you will not find that at my place because I have no experience with that, but I have an interview. But no, so what I really like to talk about is two things. It's investing. So invest, helping people to getting started with investing. For example, I have this episode where I talk about getting started to invest in the stock markets, to give some basics. Because even though to me it's simple, I've been doing it for 5-6 years now, it's a struggle to enter the stock market. So I want to encourage people trying to make it simple for people to understand and to enter it. I also, so this is, let's say, simple and common investment, but I also like to talk about a bit weird stuff, or not weird, but uncommon advice. For example, I have, I was reading some article about Legos, and I created a blog post on investing in Legos because there are people investing in Lego sets like Star Wars, etc., and they make money out of that. So I was reading about this. I made an article about that. Just, I don't do it myself, but just to illustrate, to give opportunities to people, to present what's possible. And myself, I actually, my first article is about investing in parking spots. So it's not the first thing people think about when thinking about investing. People think about, yeah, your home, another rental property, or the stock markets. These are the common ones, but then I like to enter different worlds. It's interesting for me, and I hope that people can get a different perspective and see that there are other possibilities. Because, for example, the parking spots, it's something that doesn't cost as much as a home. So maybe it's easy. It's accessible for more people. So maybe it's something to consider if you want to, if you have 20K on the side, maybe you want to invest in that. It's not maybe the best, but at least I want to present it to you.
Giving people options. There are some interesting things. I had a guest on the show once, Dustin, he was talking about, and I cannot remember the little tagline he said now. So he invests for like his regular retirement, you know, of course, in his 401k, his company sponsored plan. But then he gives himself some fun money to kind of invest in things like that, like Legos or parking spots or whatever that looks like for people. I think that's a good option, because for people who are looking to maybe invest some money on the side, you know, I don't know what your investing strategy really is. You can talk a little bit about that, but are you also investing for like regular retirement and like a, you know, just whatever your retirement fund is, or do you solely invest in things like parking spots and Legos and things like that?
So I have, when I was in Norway, so I had my apartment, which I sold, and now I bought another property with that, and which I rent out. So I rent that one out. So it's rental, so it's real estate. And then I have a stock market, which is I invest myself. And then for retirement, okay, I have, I'm in a corporate job. So my employer saves money for that. So we have different schemes around Europe, but it's similar to 401k, let's say, to make it simple. I mean, they invest through a pension fund, etc. So basically, I will get some money from my employer. With the rest of the money, I invest in tax-advantaged accounts, which we have here. So it depends a bit on the country. But right now, I live in Luxembourg, and there's one for a home savings account. Then I can deduct the amount I put in there. And then there's another one for retirement. So you can put 3,000 euros in there, and then it's a tax deduction at the same time as it is growing in the background. So I use this, and then with the rest, I invest in fun stuff. I mean, I experienced as well a little bit with Bitcoin and cryptos, just more to understand it. The parking spot as well, that was for fun, but it was easy and it was quite reliable. And then the Legos, I don't do it, but okay, I like to talk about it. And I invest in peer-to-peer lending. The main ones are real estate and stock markets.
Yeah. And I think that's what most people would invest in here too. And then kind of other things on the side. When you have money and you don't have debt and you live below your means, you have that extra cash to invest maybe in a way that's a little unconventional. And that's what part of what you say about using money as a tool, right? Like you can mm-hmm. use it as a tool for other things, but if you're struggling to pay your bills and you ain't paying them on time, I better not see you trying to invest in like Bitcoin or something.
Oh, no, but... no, definitely not.
No, I'm talking to my audience right now because they're going to be like, oh yeah, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. But Jonathan is a little bit of like, maybe might be a little ahead of you. Just make sure you're paying your bills. So you're blog as a, is it, are you considering it a side hustle right now, or is it, or like a side business, or is it your full-time job?
No, so I have a full-time job myself, and so the blog is really on the side. So it's a side activity, and I'm slowly turning into a business. I mean, I started to monetize it a little bit last year, I mean 2018, and then 2019 as well, and so I'm trying to grow that as well, doing it more as a podcast platform for my podcast. And yeah, so let's see where it takes me. But it would be a goal to start to monetize it more, but as well to deliver a good, great content for everybody.
Absolutely. I love that. And the reason I bring that up is because sometimes blogging can be a good thing for a side business or eventually a business that sustains you. So for maybe people here who are trying to get out of debt or just want something fun to do on the side, blogging, not just about personal finance, but perhaps blogging about something you're interested in or something that you know something about, that can be a viable side business and to bring in a little bit of money, right? It does take work. You know, as you know, podcasting takes work and writing a blog takes work. It's not just, you know, something that can go up in 2 seconds normally. It takes some work, but it is an option, you know, for people to maybe make a little side income. So Jonathan, is there anything else you wanted to leave with the audience today?
Well, no, I mean, just, yeah, live below your means and invest the rest, be happy. And money is great if you have it, but don't make it your goal. I mean, make it your goal to, live more flexible, leave your job, live on spend time with your kids, your family, travel the world. These are much more fun things than money, but you need money. So that's why read my blog, listen to Adrian, and follow many others. But yeah, just enjoy life. That's what it's all about in the end.
Right. Yes. I love that. Thank you so much. So tell everyone where they can, I know you've talked about your blog and your podcast. Tell everyone where they can find you at.
Yeah, sure. So the blog is johnnytalks.com. So as I said, it's a pun between my first name, Jonathan, and the expression Money Talks. So just put a J. So Johnny Talks. And I'm everywhere on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Johnny Talks.
This was awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your story and background. And then, of course, about your blog and what you do now. I really appreciate it. And I know the audience is going to love it, too.
Excellent. Well, I hope they do so. And yeah, feel free to contact me if you have any question. And thanks, Adrian, for having me. It was a nice conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yes, you're so welcome. And we'll make sure we leave all the links to your podcast and your website and everything in the show notes.
Fantastic.
Hey, thanks for tuning into today's episode of the Faith and Finance Podcast. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find me on Instagram at faith.in.finance. Make sure you check out today's episode show notes for all the links discussed and a link to Johnny's website and everything like that. Thanks so much. Keep the faith, my friend.